Welcome to the deep dive. We take source material research, professional notes, articles, and, you know, we pull out the critical knowledge you really need without all the fluff. Today, we're tackling a fascinating, a real paradox in the modern justice system.
Right.
We are diving deep into a very specific, and I mean high stakes logistical challenge. It's about the process of serving legal documents in one of the fastest growing parts of Louisiana.
It sounds almost mundane, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A footnote in a legal procedure.
Exactly.
But the reality is that the entire path of a legal case, I mean, anything from a divorce filing to a huge corporate lawsuit, it all hinges on this one simple physical act.
So the question we're asking is, when this kind of privacy and urbanization collide, what actually happens to due process?
That's it.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission is to understand why success in a legal case so often depends on this, like, this hyper-local knowledge and, I guess, specialized access.
Especially in places that are, you know, designed from the ground up to keep people out.
This is a great case study for how that niche geographical expertise becomes a, well, a professional necessity.
And our perfect case study is Youngsville, Louisiana. This area really shows how rapid urbanization, creating all these layers of controlled access, just completely complicates what should be a routine legal step.
The sources, they really paint a picture of this dramatic change. Youngsville has moved so fast from what was described as, you know, a quiet little village.
Just a few decades ago.
To this sprawling master plan city. It's just packed with new construction, new roads, and critically, a huge number of these high security gated subdivisions.
And think about the logistical nightmare that that creates. We're talking about the 70592 area code.
Right.
Serving a legal document there, it takes a lot more than just knowing the area or plugging an address into your GPS.
Because the GPS might not even be right.
It's often not. The speed of construction means so many of these new streets, the ones that are part of this big residential boom, they just don't register on standard maps yet. They're basically ghost roads until the system catches up.
And the physical barriers are intense. We're not just talking about a couple of new houses here. The sources call out specific communities with notoriously strict access controls.
Oh, yeah.
Places like Sugar Mill Ponds, Copper Meadows, Sable Palms. Plus, you have all this new development along corridors like Chemin Metairie and Savoy Road, where everything is just constantly changing.
It is the definition of a moving target. And if you zoom out a bit and look at the whole Acadiana region, Youngsville is truly gated community central. And that fact, just by itself, immediately raises the bar for anyone trying to conduct legal business there.
Which leads us right to the core problem.
Yeah.
Why do the generic approaches fail? Why can't a law firm just hire some big nationwide service or, I don't know, even rely on the local sheriff?
Well, it seems like that should work, right?
Right.
It's their duty, but it really comes down to priority and volume.
Okay.
The police and the sheriff's office, they're dealing with criminal cases, emergency calls, serving civil papers like a summons for a lawsuit. It's just not their top priority.
It gets put on the back burner.
Exactly. That's your first delay right there.
But what about the nationwide firms? Why do they fall short?
Because they just don't have that hyper-local knowledge.
Yeah.
A national company, they'll often just subcontract the job out to someone who isn't experienced or...
Or what?
Ironically, sometimes they just mail the papers to the sheriff's office anyway, putting you right back at square one.
So you're paying a premium for nothing.
Pretty much.
And
when their general contractor, who nobody knows locally, shows up at the gate of a community like Sugar Mill Pond, the guard's protocol is almost always to deny entry. They see a generic ID, a rental car, and nope, the papers get turned away.
And you lose time. In litigation, that could mean losing momentum or even missing a critical deadline.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
That gives the other side a huge advantage. And the consequences, they go way beyond just a delay.
How so?
Well, what's so fascinating is the need for specific professional credentials. If a generic server fails or they don't do it properly, the entire service might be invalidated later on.
So the defendant could claim they were never properly notified.
Yes. And if that happens, any judgment you won could be overturned, costing you months, maybe even years.
Wow. Okay, so the difference isn't just about having an address. It's about having, like, institutional access. The local experts, they operate right out of Lafayette Parish.
Right. They know the security protocols. They have the specific credentials and even the relationships to get in where others just can't.
That's the key then. The difference between success and failure is often this this proprietary knowledge.
It is. It's the daily interactions. That's how they get the gate codes, learn the community rules, know who to call in security. They are operating a very specific legal and geographical niche.
That sounds like a massive advantage. But hold on, isn't that information like gate codes private? How can a firm leverage that without, you know, crossing a line?
That's a great question, and it gets right to the heart of what a professional process server is. They're not bribing anyone. They're leveraging official state-sanctioned credentials.
So they're basically officers of the court.
In a way, yes. They are certified and recognized, carrying legal documents that mandate cooperation for the sake of due process. Their job is purely logistical.
Right, to make sure the papers get delivered.
And that brings up a really critical point we have to stress for our listeners.
What's that?
We are only discussing the logistical side of legal support. The sources are very, very clear on this.
Okay, so let's be clear. The content here is for informational, for educational purposes only. The professionals we're talking about are not attorneys.
Correct. They're not affiliated with law firms.
Right.
And they absolutely cannot provide legal advice.
So if you need legal help,
you have to contact an attorney or your local bar association. These servers, their scope is purely the successful legal delivery of documents and the filings that go with it.
Understood. They're like a highly specialized delivery system for the legal world.
Exactly.
And this local coverage, it extends across all of Youngsville, the 7592 area, and also South Lafayette, the 7508 area.
That's right. And once they actually serve the papers, that's when the next challenge starts, navigating the court system itself.
We're moving from street-level logistics, getting past the guard shack to court bureaucracy.
Right. Getting the papers filed correctly. Youngsville's cases are handled by the 15th Judicial District Court, the JDC.
And that's a huge system. It covers Lafayette Parish, where Youngsville is, but also Acadia and Vermilion parishes.
It's a big district.
So what are the specific challenges of the 15th JDC that require this kind of local approach?
Well, the physical hub for all these cases is the parish courthouse in downtown Lafayette. And if you want your case to move quickly, you just can't afford procedural delays because of a filing mistake.
I can imagine.
And the 15th JDC, like any big court, has its own very specific, sometimes non-intuitive filing rules that can even change day to day.
This is where that local presence becomes so obvious. The expert teams are described as being inside this courthouse daily.
They're not just visitors. They are embedded in the daily rhythm of that court system.
That daily familiarity must be priceless.
It is. It means they can handle all the physical filings, retrieve documents, and deal with any other administrative stuff immediately. They often catch potential problems before the clerk's office even flags them.
And the most critical piece of paper is the affidavit of service, right? The proof of delivery. Why is that so crucial at the 15th JDC?
Because without that affidavit being filed, and filed promptly and correctly, your case just stops. It cannot move forward.
So a simple mistake there can derail everything.
Absolutely. The clerk has to process it, and it has to meet all the specific formatting and notary rules of the 15th JDC. If some firm 1,000 miles away doesn't know the local rules, like how many copies you need or where a date stamp goes, that filing gets rejected.
A rejected affidavit means the case is dead in the water until it's fixed.
Completely. And they handle other little things non-locals miss, like making sure the judge gets their courtesy copy.
A courtesy copy.
Yeah, the judge needs a working copy of the filings because the official file might be in transit or with the clerk. Getting that copy to the judge prevents delays in hearings. It's that kind of detail that defines professional logistics in this parish.
So we've got the specialized access to the communities, the embedded knowledge of the court. Now let's talk about speed, because legal deadlines are, well, they're famously unforgiving.
Time is definitely non-negotiable. The sources lay out 3 different service tiers based on urgency. The standard one is routine service.
Okay.
That ensures the first attempt to serve is made within 3 to 5 days. It's fine for standard stuff like an initial divorce filing or a small claims case where time isn't a huge factor.
Then you can escalate it to rush service.
Right. Rush guarantees the first attempt within a very tight 24 to 48 hours. This is for cases where the clock is really ticking.
Maybe the defendant is trying to avoid being served.
Exactly. Or a hearing day is coming up fast.
And then for real emergencies, there's same day service.
That's the nuclear option. It means immediate dispatch the second they get the documents. This is reserved for truly urgent matters at the 15th JDC, like temporary restraining orders.
TROs.
TROs, or emergency custody hearings, where the outcome really hinges on getting those papers served today. That immediate prioritization is something you just don't get from the public sector.
To get the full picture, the sources also list some related services that, you know, support this whole process. It's not just about running papers back and forth.
That's right. The full suite of services shows you just how complex legal logistics can get. Beyond process serving and court filing, you have critical things like skip tracing, a legal courier, and registered agent services.
Let's quickly define a couple of those. What exactly is skip tracing?
Skip tracing is essential when the address you have is bad. Maybe the defendant has, you know, skipped town.
I see.
It's the investigative work to locate someone using public records, city, parish, federal courthouse records. It's foundational. You can't serve papers if you can't find the person.
And what about being a registered agent? Why would a company need one in Youngsville?
Ah, the registered agent. Mm-hmm. If you own a business in Louisiana, you need an official, physical point of contact for all legal and government mail.
So when a company gets sued...
The process server doesn't go chase down the CEO. They go to the registered agent's address. It guarantees that businesses get proper notice of legal action. Offering that service is critical for any company operating in the 15th JDC.
It makes the whole system more efficient, and all of these supporting services are focused just on the court process.
Absolutely. It's all specialized logistical support. Any information they gather is from public records and used only for a court proceeding. They maintain a very strict professional scope.
So what's the big takeaway here? Our deep dive shows that effective legal support in a place like Youngsville, it doesn't just happen. It hinges on a few crucial, almost invisible factors.
I'd say first, you need that proprietary, hyperlocal knowledge to navigate the physical world, to find the streets that aren't on the GPS and know the unwritten rules.
Second, you need professional access. You need the right credentials to get past security in those private communities to ensure due process is actually served.
And finally, you need that daily, embedded familiarity with the 15th JDC to make sure the filing is fast and, more importantly, procedurally perfect. One wrong date on that affidavit can undo everything.
Logistics really are the silent operational arm of the court. They make sure the paper chase doesn't stall the pursuit of justice.
Well said.
And that brings us to our final thought for you to consider. Is a seemingly simple act like serving a paper a basic requirement of due process requires specialized credentials and insider knowledge just to get past a guard in a subdivision? How many other foundational legal processes relied entirely on this invisible local infrastructure that we rarely, if ever, think about? Where else is the rule of law secretly dependent on knowing a 4-digit gate code?